Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. So today I've been joined on the Green Elephant Show by John Erik Jansen from the Good Pencil Company. The Good Pencil Company provides pencils with purpose. Each pencil sold helps somebody less fortunate. They've been a certified B Corporation for a couple of years, and John Erik is the founder. So welcome to the show, John Erik. Lovely to have you here.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Great. And you call yourself the Good Pencil Company. I was wondering, is there such a thing as a bad pencil?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there is. Our pencils are FSC certified, so we don't use any old growth forest wood. We don't use rainforest wood. We use sustainably harvested wood, which many pencils can't say. Here in the US, we have a lot of stores that sell on a budget. We, you know, like 99 cent stores, we call them. Yeah. And they have pencils that are of questionable origin with child labor and, you know, wood that can't be kind of seen where it came from. So whether they're called the bad pencil company or they're just a bad pencil company. I think there can be a distinction.
And so the FSC certification, just for listeners, is that the same as it is around the rest of the world? So each piece of wood, you know the origin of the wood and the type of wood and how it's been, I guess, sustainably harvested and, you know, replanted or whatever. Is it the same? Same there. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we use linden tree wood.
Okay. Any particular reason for the linden tree?
Well, I'm not a tree expert, but the farm that we get them from, which is in the U.S. here, we have been told that linden grows very fast. It's considered similar to bamboo that grows really fast. And so that's a tree of choice for sustainable farmers who are growing trees and then cutting them down, because traditional trees take a very long time to grow. So if they can, you know, get a tree that grows fast, that means they can sell more, you know, wood products.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so, and your pencil, it's obviously the wood's important, but there are other components to the pencil. There's obviously we call it the lead. It's obviously not lead. It's something else. And the rubber. Have you been down the route of sustainably sourcing those components as well?
Yeah, we do the best we can. The rubber part, the pencil, is hard. We have partnered with a brand from Germany for a natural rubber eraser, and they make them in a large eraser, you know, like a 1 or 2 inch eraser. But we've had a harder time finding a natural eraser bit that fits on the end of the pencil. So it continues to be an area that we'd like to look at. Another thing too is that the end of the pencil has those metal ferrules, is what they're called. I was looking for a pencil on my desk, but I guess I don't have one. But that metal tip at the end, we recycle those. So we partner with a company here in the US to recycle those, but it's still something we have to deal with, as well as whatever's left over of the eraser that's inside that ferrule. Yeah. So we came up with a pencil that didn't have the eraser and the ferrule on it at all. And we replaced it with a natural rubber eraser that fits on the back, on the top. So that eliminates the metal part. And because it's a natural rubber eraser from that same German company, it just makes it a little bit more sustainable. And so we are working towards that. But as a small company, we still have, definitely room to grow.
It's hard. The more questions you ask, the more difficult we are. Just as an aside, we're looking at making a consumer electronics product. And when you ask questions about, well, how do we make a circuit board sustainable, or get sustainable plastics, it is hard to, you know, you try to do as much as you can, but sometimes it's just hard for a small business to, you know, get through the breakthrough. Was there a reason that led you to this idea around, you know, pencils and providing pencils for people that don't have them? Was anything that kind of sparked this idea?
Yeah, so the idea for this company was my idea. I was in college, actually, working on my master's degree here in the States. And I was working in my MBA program. We all have these projects that we work on. And I wanted to do something in the world of CSR, corporate social responsibility. Something I really enjoy. I think that we as business professionals need to do more for our stakeholders, not just our shareholders and our communities that we support. And so that led me to that area. And I was able to partner with a couple of B Corps and some other businesses that weren't B Corps. And it was a really fun idea to be working with these companies. But I knew that I wasn't getting everything I wanted. You know, they're going to give me the bright and shiny stuff, right? They're going to give me the stuff that they know is going to look good. Maybe, hopefully I didn't leave anything out. But I decided to make this fictitious company during my schooling years. Okay. And that was called the Good Pencil Company. And the reason I did that was because I could get the full story. I could get everything from A to Z, because I was controlling all the aspects of it. And so it was really just supposed to be for this project, for this class project that I'm working on. It's a 2-year program. And it just took off, you know. It did really well, and it was nothing more than me just selling to friends and family and networks, and selling out of the trunk of my car, really. And we were selling for 3 times what your normal pack of pencils would cost. And so, you know, I kind of knew that there was something in this. And it really was all about the story, because anyone can go buy a pack of pencils for $1 or $2 or $3. But people were buying from us for much more than that. And it all had to do with what we were doing as a company and what we were trying to do to support our community. And that's what really sold people, I think, on the concept. And so we spent about 6 to 9 months getting a couple of people involved and getting the pencil prices down, because, you know, they were, like I said, 2 to 3 times more than what people pay normally, and ended up getting the pricing down to, I think, what is more comparable to a higher end, higher quality pencil. And, you know, we've been continuing to develop and make changes and make reductions in things wherever we can from then.
I mean, amazing way to start a business with something that you already know works, because you've been selling it and people have been buying it already. So that's a great start, isn't it? And the other thing I picked up from what you said was that you'd been speaking to and working alongside other B Corps before you really got into this and got it going. So was that what kind of led you to making the Good Pencil Company a B Corp, or was there a kind of another, you know, driver behind going down the B Corp route?
So I've been in the nonprofit space before this for a long time. So that side of things really interests me. Like I said before, I do really believe that we need to change the way we do business. And I was saying all the things that B Corps were saying, but this was before I knew the B Corp community. So when I met these B Corps, Cotopaxi, which is a B Corp here in Utah with us, and then also interviewing my local Patagonia store. So those were the two B Corps I was working with. And, you know, listening to what they had to say about what B Corps were, and kind of already having that opinion, just not knowing what a B Corp was kind of where we got started on it. So when we decided to make this a real company, from day one, we were saying, well, we have to make sure we're doing everything that would make us a B Corp, because that's definitely what we want to do.
Yeah, no, it's a great way to start, isn't it? And what do you think that being a B Corp, you know, adds and brings to what you're doing?
Yeah, it's a community, you know, it's a community of like-minded business professionals, which is great. We've definitely enjoyed working with other B Corps. It's also been a lot easier to work with other B Corps because we know that they share our values. They share our mission in a sense. Yeah. They may be supporting other initiatives than we do, but they're still trying to use business as a force for good, no matter what their mission is. And that's really popular. And then even though here in Utah, there are only 7 B Corps, we are surrounded by 2 states around us that have 1 to 200 B Corps in California and Colorado. Every time I get on a Zoom call, my cat decides to jump in. So
that's what cats are for. Mine normally walks on my keyboard. I'm fortunate he's not doing that at the moment. But yeah, I mean, that's amazing. So, you've got such a big community of B Corps. We've found that the B Corp community has been amazing. We issued something on the Beehive saying we'd like to interview fellow B Corps for B Corp Month, and we've been inundated with people who said they'd like to help out, and just amazing community. And I guess, do you have B Locals where you are, that the B Local structure?
We do not in Utah because there's only 7 B Corps. Sure. So we are kind of just in the same B Local with Colorado.
Yeah.
So we're part of the Colorado B Local, but we don't have our own Utah B Local. However, I went to a B Local event in Colorado when we first became certified, and it was awesome. You know, it was a great experience. I was sitting next to the CEO of one of the largest ski resorts that's a B Corp called Taos here in America. And we were sitting next to other people who were, you know, big timers and brand new companies and companies who were interested in becoming B Corps. I mean, we had all kinds of people, and it was a 3-day event, and we really enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun, and we came back to Utah saying, where's our B Local? You know, what's going on here? So me and my 2 other founders, we went to all the B Corps here in Utah, and we got them signed up. So we have our own unofficial B Local. So we do our own events. Yeah, we have our own email lists, and we get together. Pre-COVID, we got together a few times. We had a lot of really cool events planned last year, but you know, those were all canceled because of COVID. But yeah, so we have an unofficial Be Local just because of our size.
Yeah, no, great to hear. I want to get back to the pencil project and explain for listeners, if you will, how it works. So people go to the Good Pencil Company, they buy a pencil. What happens?
Yeah, so we're a one-for-one business. So when someone buys a pack of pencils from us, we donate that same amount of pencils to schools. We're just about 25,000 donated pencils to schools and organizations that support education initiatives in their communities. Also, and that's great, we love doing that. But we also like supporting other organizations and things that people do out in the community, you know, outside of just education, but they don't always need pencils. And so we've come up with specialty pencils that actually donate the monetary equivalent of that pencil to that organization.
Okay.
So when people buy a pack of pencils that supports the forests, for example, we're not giving a pencil to a forest organization because they don't need them in the same, you know, the same as much as, you know, schools do. But we donate that monetary value, and every twice a year we round up all that money and you know, donate that monetary equivalent.
Yeah, I mean, I did notice that there was a lot of, from looking at your website, which we'll link up in the show notes, so listeners, you can go and see the Good Pencil Company website, but there's a lot of community stuff on there. You mentioned the trees, but I saw stuff on scholarships and volunteering and other bits. You want to talk a little bit about those areas as well?
Yeah, that's an important part for us as a B Corp. So we definitely volunteer in our community. One thing that I like to do is speak to college students, entrepreneurs, you know, the next generation of business leaders. And I do that free of charge. That's a volunteer activity that I do. And I go around to colleges and universities and business organizations, and I just give them my observations of what business can be. You know, here in Utah, yeah. there are so few B Corps. Like I said, there's only seven, and there are tons of small businesses. Utah yeah. is one of the biggest small business states in America, and it's okay. very popular for small businesses. And so I love to be able to speak to small businesses and individuals and business leaders about the way we do things, and because they may not have that experience anywhere else. Our colleges here in Utah don't have any B Corp training for any of the business students. And so I've partnered with many of the universities and the colleges here locally yeah. to at least, you know, give them an hour introduction to the B Corp world and sustainable business. And
yeah, it's really important, because, you know, investors and the people with the money, the VCs, and are getting more and more interested in ESG and CSR, and more money is going that way. And so when you start a company, you're going to have to be interested in the triple bottom line and not just the money. So it's important that consumers. People like you are doing that work.
Yeah,
and consumers,
and the consumers yeah. too. Yeah. We were talking to students at a local college here last week, and we referenced a marketing survey that was done nationally, and it was something like 83% of consumers were looking for a brand that fit and aligned with their mission or their values or, you know, what they believe in.
Yeah,
and so consumers are making some big changes here in the U.S. That's, you know, very needed. In the U.S., we've done things a little bit differently than the rest of the world in the past, but we need to get in line on yeah. this one and find a better way to be consumers. And yeah. it's encouraging, because we have a lot of people who are buying from us because of the things that we do and the things that we stand for, and instead of just buying from a competitor who's not doing any of these things.
Yeah, yeah. So it's almost... it's a, you know, a competitive advantage to be a B Corp, and we've seen lots of stats around, you know, the B Corps outperforming other companies. So listeners, if you're thinking about it, absolutely start your journey down the route, because it's worth it. I noticed you've got another certification that I hadn't come across, actually. It was a new one for me, which was climate neutral certified. And so what's that?
Yeah, so becoming a B Corp was important to us. The environment's important to us. You know, we have to cut down trees in order to make our products. So
yeah.
it's not like we're helping the environment by doing that. So we wanted to make sure that we were being a positive impact, because we are negatively impacting the environment. Yeah. And so one of the things that we first did when we became a B Corp was also become a member of 1% for the Planet.
Yep.
Which is 1% of your revenue back to help with environmental causes. And then because of that, we were introduced to B Corps who were also 1% for the Planet members. And so we had some friendships there. And then this new certification popped up about 2 years ago called Climate Neutral. It was started by a couple of B Corp founders, actually. And basically what it is we measure our entire carbon footprint. We reduce wherever we can, and we've been looking at ways to reduce that, to bring that number down. One of the things we did, for example, was we bought an electric car. So and then the pandemic hit, so we didn't do any traveling, yeah, but we have an electric car that's our company car now, and, you know, really excited about that. I love it. Always wanted an electric car, but, you know, we use that for local deliveries. We use that for, you know, giving products to whoever it is. And so that's cut our impact down a bit. And we also use a rechargeable solar system for our events that we do and things like that. But these are all things that we did through Climate Neutral in order to reduce our carbon footprint. And then whatever is left, that's what we have to offset through programs. And so we calculate our entire footprint, and then we offset through programs that Climate Neutral has found to be, you know, good programs to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting, because we talk about on our, we do a regular weekly podcast, and we talk about carbon offsets and net zero and all these terms. And actually what we find is that a lot of organizations, particularly those big ones with deep pockets, they think they can buy their way out of their responsibility, and we're just going to buy planting of a million trees and we're okay, thanks. And quite apart from the fact it takes years for those trees to grow enough to be taking insignificant amount of carbon, they're not doing the reduction part. So I'm really interested, does Climate Neutral Certified check that you've done the reduction part and then obviously do the recommendation for how you then offset what's left? So both parts are part of that certification.
Yeah, they do. It's okay. Very similar to the B Corp certification. Okay. It requires a ton of work and a ton of information and verifications on their part. Yeah. And totally agree with you. That's something we've talked about because we're also part of Eden's reforestation project, which is really cool. We help plant trees in countries that have just been decimated. Yeah. Our tree planting is done in Madagascar, where 93% yeah. of the forests are gone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're helping to rebuild that forest through the mangrove forests in the north. And what's really cool about Eden's reforestation project is that they don't just plant trees and leave. They stay in these local communities and show these locals how to benefit from what they're doing. So it's okay. not just let the mangroves grow and then cut them back down and use them for, you know, wood and stuff like that. They actually show these locals how to benefit from these forests and keeping these forests alive through like regenerative farming practices and all kinds of stuff that they do. And so that's really cool. But we saw almost instantly that the numbers, you know, how many, you know, how much tons of carbon are being removed, that's not when the tree is planted. That's, yep. you know, 30 years down the road it when is, the tree yep. is fully grown.
Yeah.
So that's great that we're helping to bring these forests back and help locals have an income that they can sustain. But that's down the road, and who knows what happens in 20, 30 years. So that's why we also like the Climate Neutral Certification Program, because they don't just plant trees. They do things with biogas recapture. They do things with renewable energy projects. They do things all over, you know, the world, and it's not just planting trees. And so we're you know, really happy part of that.
Well, I mean, we're definitely going to look that up and link that in the show notes, because that sounds, for our own company, exactly the sort of thing that we want to get certified to and to align with. And the fact that it's takes a lot of work and it's rigorous, it means that it probably has some value and some validity and is worth doing. So, thank you, John Eric, for that. That's, you know, beneficial for me, and I'm sure loads of listeners will think that's a great thing as well.
Yeah, we started as one of the first 100 brands, and then this year it has exploded. And I think one of the reasons for that is because one of our largest retailers in the U.S. has signed on to Climate Neutral, REI.
Okay.
They are a very large outdoor company, probably the largest outdoor company in the U.S. And it was big news when they decided to join the Climate Neutral brand. Yeah. And so I think I read in an email that it's something like 250 more brands have signed on, you know, for this year. So it's quickly growing, and it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, no, sounds amazing. John, we're asking all of our guests if there is a one tip or one action, if you could get the listeners, many thousands of listeners, to take a single action or a single step, you know, towards being more sustainable or something like that. What is there anything you'd suggest that people do?
Yeah, and so I get this question a lot. You know, here in Utah, we are not known for being very environmentally friendly.
Okay.
Recycling is not a big thing in Utah. Electric cars are not a big thing in Utah. Solar power, you know, all the things that we kind of think of as saying these are great things we can do. So I get this question a lot. You know, I don't want to make changes in my life that change everything. And what I tell every one of these students or these business professionals or whoever I'm talking to is don't make 100% change tomorrow. You know, don't change everything, because it's going to be catastrophic and it's most likely going to fail and you're not going to be able to do it because you're making a huge change. So make a small little change, you know, whether it's just getting a metal water bottle so you don't have a plastic water bottle that you throw out. That's an easy change.
Yep.
Easy changes like switching your lunch bags from single-use paper bags or those plastic bags. We've got really cool brands like Stasher that have reusable bags that you can put your food in. Think of something, anything. I don't have one thing for someone to do because I think everyone has a different case in their lives. Yep. But if you're thinking of one thing that you can change, just do it, see how great it is, and then do the next thing and the next thing. The incremental change is easier to absorb, easier to do, and it still is making an impact. And if we all did it, if all, you know, 4 billion of us in this world all switched over to, you know, a metal water bottle, we would see a huge impact. And so we collectively, I'm a big fan of crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, you know, that kind of stuff, because if we all donate $5, we can easily hit $1 million, but you yourself may not be able to hit $1 million. But that's what I would say, you know, do it, you know, just do that one simple little thing that you're thinking about. I wanted to buy an electric car for 10 years and electric cars have become so inexpensive now. There's other brands other than just Tesla out there. Yeah. And they're all great cars, and I've loved it. I've really enjoyed having it. I pay pennies on the dollar as compared to gasoline. So it doesn't matter what little thing you're doing. Just do it. Just jump off. Just get started, and you'll see the impact.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, the power of tiny steps is, you know, can be awesome, awesome power. And it doesn't matter if you're not perfect. It you know. Just do something. Don't worry about it being perfect and the best. Just make a start. And we're asking our guests also. Thanks for that, John Eric. That was great. We're asking our guests also for a book recommendation or a film or something like that. And I think you mentioned you had something maybe a little different to suggest or something that was meaningful to you.
Yeah, so one of the things that my wife and I have dreamt about for years is, you know, selling that house in the suburbs and buying a sustainable farm, you know, buying a tiny house out in the wilderness somewhere and just living off the grid. And so that's a recommendation that I love. And I can't do it because I end up spending 3 or 4 hours just watching TV shows about, you know, living in tiny houses or living on sustainable farms, you know, things like that. But you know, I love just jumping on, you know, like a Netflix documentary about tiny house living or living on a farm or, you know, YouTube videos about people who do it. There's a bunch of shows that aren't on syndication, but they're on like YouTube, like living big in a tiny house, I think is one of them. And, you know, they show people from all over the world who are living in tiny homes and how they're doing it. Successfully and sustainably and things like that. So that's something I really like. I even bought a book about how to build your own tiny home just because I was ready to go out there and build it one summer. So
I can second that recommendation, John Eric. I've seen some of these, and just for the listeners, if you haven't seen any of these, when they say tiny house, the footprint might be small, but the ingenuity within these houses is just incredible because most houses are built with too much space and they just waste the space and they don't think about how they're using it. These tiny ones, they are so incredibly clever the way they use the space and change the space and make it multifunction. It's just, I'm so impressed. I'm just so, you know, amazed by some of the things that people are doing in these tiny houses. So
and it's funny because we used to live like this, you know, it's only in modern times that the houses have, you know, grown, right? Yeah. My grandparents' house is something like 900 square feet. And there were 5 kids inside that house and 2 parents, you know, and one of the bedrooms was really no bigger than sadly my closet today.
Yeah.
But they survived and they thrived and they, you know, lived great. And so I think it's something we could definitely get back to. There's a lot of struggles here in the US with that because tiny homes are still seen as a novelty and there's a lot of code violations and zoning issues and things like that. So, and that scares people because really the only place you can then do it is out in the boonies somewhere, you know, some get out in the forest and have no neighbors for 100 miles. So, there's a lot of things we have to change in order to make that more of a, you know, something that people want to do, a little more intriguing, I think.
But I think it'll grow. Yeah, I think it will as well. And I think it's a, you know, it's a lovely recommendation. It's, you know, that simple living, downsizing, and not wanting to, you know, buy all the time. That's brilliant, John Eric. We're going to have a little bit of fun with our fact or fake in a second, but if people want to get hold of the Good Pencil Company, where's the best place to find you and to find out more about what you do?
Our website is a great place. You can, like you said, you're going to link in the notes. So goodpencilcompany.com. Also our social media, you know, we post on our social media, you know, pretty regularly. But yeah, that's the best place. We love hearing from people whenever they have questions or comments, and we love supporting projects. You know, we've supported pencil projects even in the UK and Singapore and Australia. So we are happy to work with people, not just in the US. So
yeah. Brilliant. Okay, well, as John Eric said, we will put links to all those things in the show notes. So go and have a look and go and look them up. So now it's fact or fake, and we have three statements, and they are pencil related, and just a bit of fun really to see what our pencil knowledge is like. So are you ready, John Eric?
Let's do it.
Good. So the first one is, a standard pencil, so that's 7.5 inches long, roughly, can draw a line 35 miles long. Is that a fact or is that a fake? Is that made up?
That is a fact.
It is a fact. You can, with a single pencil, draw a line 35 miles long. That's incredible, isn't it? How far that goes.
I actually knew that one because we were presenting to kids in elementary schools, and we got questions like that. You know, if I kept drawing, how long could I draw for?
Yeah.
And so we actually had to look it up.
Yeah.
The 35 miles, I don't recall if that was exactly right based on what we found, but I know it was many miles you could draw with a pencil for. So thank you to second graders for, for having that curiosity.
Great. Yep. The next one. This is now the world's longest pencil is 250 meters long. And we're talking about a wooden pencil, as opposed to they make some out of wiggly polystyrene. But the world's longest wooden pencil is 250 meters long. Is that a fact or is that a fake?
That one they did not ask in that class. So they let me down on that one.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll say that's a fact.
Okay, now that one actually is a fake. I made that up. It's actually an incredible 460 meters long, which is that is one long pencil.
We have a 3-foot pencil. We do farmers markets, and we have a 3-foot pencil that we put on our tables just to, you know, get people interested.
Yeah, you'd have trouble getting the 460 meter one on your table, I guess.
Yeah,
or getting it in the car. Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, one about some authors. The authors Roald Dahl, Ernest Hemingway, and John Steinbeck used only pencils to write their books. Is that a fact or is that a fake?
Let's go with fact.
It is a fact.
I have no idea.
Yeah, no, some well-known authors only wrote their books in pencils. And I find that, you know, fascinating. And it said that Roald Dahl, he used to use his pencils all the way down to the rubber. And, you know, so it's just an intriguing insight into the mind of some authors. John Eric, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you and to find out about the Good Pencil Company. I have certainly learned some things. I'm really interested in the climate neutral certification. I'm interested in Good Pencil Company here in the UK, and I'm sure other listeners will be as well. So thank you so much for your time. And
thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We really hope that you found this special B Corp Month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the other 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing. And don't forget to spread the word with others.
If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. You can email studio@greenelephant.show or visit our website greenelephant.show or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitter by searching for Green Elipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow and we hope you have a sustainable day.